Okay, good morning, everyone. We're going to begin. Today's topic is the microwave. We dealt with the fridge, and we dealt with the oven. So that's it. That's one of the next major appliances in our home in the modern world, and that's a microwave. It'll be found on page 40. Now, the question we have to deal with is, how do you connect a microwave to an oven?
Are they similar? Are they different?
So on one hand, a microwave is much smaller than an oven. So that maybe makes a little bit of a difference. We saw, right, in other opinions in terms of our modern day ovens are a little bit bigger. The steam can spread, can dissipate. It's not as condensed. But in a microwave, that would not be the case because it's in fact much, much smaller. And there's potentially even more steam in a microwave than in a typical oven. Well, that might be true. However, the heat is very different. You know, you touch the walls of a microwave, not that I recommend it, but, you know, it's not hot like the side of an oven. So you don't have that same heat issue. Therefore, that means the walls are not really absorbing. Excuse me. The walls of a microwave aren't absorbing like the walls of an oven. So what do we do? How do we understand this? So the other thing that's important is that, okay, you know what? The microwave only costs, I don't know, a couple $100. Get one for meat and one for milk. That maybe will resolve the issue. So yes, that probably would, or you know, have only, you know, have two microwaves or have one and designate it for milk. Obviously, that would definitely be a solution. So, but we don't want to do that. We want to see, are we able to, in a proper way, use the microwave for both milk and meat? How do we do that? How does it work? What are the issues? And that's more important. How do we analyze the issues and what might be some of the solutions that are out there? Okay. This connects to what we saw yesterday, the last couple of days, and that is that, just because the walls get hot, the walls do not necessarily get hot, the food gets very, very hot, right? So, you know, and this splashing around that takes place in a microwave, maybe even more than an oven, because the same splashing that took place in an oven, if I replicate that in a microwave, well, the splashing sticks around. Meaning to stain your microwave and have pieces of food. So a microwave often lasts a lot longer. Well, your oven, if there's any type of splashing, it will be, you know, disintegrated and very quickly because of the heat of an oven. So those are also something we definitely have to consider. So if you could take a look at the end of these this paragraph here, so it says, although the walls often remain cold, since the food can get very hot, a large amount of steam reaches the walls. Absorption, nevertheless, may occur. Plus, foods also splatter frequently against the walls. For this reason, the Sefer Kashrut recommends covering all meat or dairy foods placed in a microwave. One may also kush the microwave in between uses by cleaning it as well. For 24 hours, heat up a cup of water inside. If one wishes to use a microwave for both milk and meat, Here's definitely some guidelines. And what are they? That's source number 33. Tanur Magrigal, Ragil, regular microwave. Hamashamesh ach v'rak lev shirin mazon ochimimo, that you use to defrost, or that you use to actually reheat food. I suppose like cooking, right? No, I don't believe, I mean, I know we don't use a microwave for this at all. Like, here's raw chicken, I'm going to now cook the chicken. No, I've already cooked the chicken in an oven. I want to reheat the chicken literally in seconds. That's a function of microwave. There are those who permit using it for both milk and meat. But tonight, on condition, that is covered in some type of hermetical seal, meaning that I'm not just, you know, putting a paper towel rested over the chicken. He said that would not be sufficient according to Sefer Kashrut. It needs to be sealed. So, for example, we need to be in a Tupperware. And not only that, but my piece of chicken is not going on that glass turning table in the microwave. Rather, I always put my food into a bowl, so or a plate, and that plate or that bowl it now rests on the glass plate. So there's never any direct contact. So two issues here that are very important to point out. And parv, you tell me to measure about parv. You know, want to reheat a piece of kugel. That's parv, right? Or noodles that are parv. What about that? How do I do that in my grave? Yeah, you measure the loki. Okay, so that you wouldn't have to cover. The yesh machmir. Those are stringent. And say what? The kovin eight hashimush b'toch l'sug mazon echad bavad. They use it from the one species. You know, milk or meat. And only if there's a great need, would they rely on this leniency of always trying to cover everything, waiting 24 hours, steaming it? That would be to look at it. Okay, for the same reason, okay, this is super. I get this question on campus regularly. Rabbi, can I use the microwave in the Hillel? Can you use the microwave on the university campus? Now, the Hillel microwaves are treif. They're used by everybody. So lots of Jews, which is great, hanging around, but there's a microwave to heat up their non-kosher food. Constant basis. So same reason, the microwave found that publication should be treated as not kosher. One who wishes to use such a microwave should cover the food with two coverings. To ensure that absolutely no kosher steam or flavor is absorbed by one's food. So you see, you just double wrap it. This is the same practice used on airplanes when heating up kosher meals. So the meals are heated in a small non-kosher oven. They're packaged by the kosher caterer with two seals around them to prevent potential absorption. That's very important. You can always use a non-kosher microwave or oven. Your food needs to be double wrapped, or some of these even better, triple wrapped, just in case there's an opening somewhere. Okay? What would be the halacha for microwave mistakenly used improperly? Meaning, I forgot to, I heated up food in a non-kosher microwave, and I didn't cover it properly, right? With two wraps. Does microwave or the food become not kosher, right? Or if I put in non-kosher food in microwave by mistake, right? How do I deal with what's the transferability of the food in microwave? Question starts with the different opinions on the postkin depending on their approach to some of the questions addressed above. Although some are stringent and recommend kosher in the microwave and not eating the food, others like Rav Elazar Melamed are leading into situations. So the Panini Halacha, which is a well-known halachic work, which I actually found it online in English. Here we go. It says 34. B'di'evet. Now remember, this is different than an oven. And I think this is very important because in an oven, you have classic heat. In a microwave, while your food gets hot, the heating process is still very different, right? There's no heat, right? Except for the food, because it's the liquid that are being zapped and running back and forth very quickly, right? Whereas the walls are fine. So it's a very interesting scenario where while your food gets heated, the microwave oven doesn't get heated nearly the same way. So says the Pini Halacha 34, but the Evet, if by mistake you mess up, oh no, I used the meat microwave, the milk microwave, the oven microwave, made a mistake. Yichimu below kisur kini drash, you forget to double wrap. Amachal kasher, your food is still kosher. Wow, big leniency. Again, because of the reasons that I outlined. V'im gam lo haita hafrada ben machal l'tzalachas. And even if, let's say, I put the food directly on the plate, yitechen ha'tzalachat haita meluch lechen ma'at b'shirei machal treif. I put the food directly on that glass plate, and probably the treif food was used 2 hours earlier on that same plate. Or the milk and meat, I put the food on the plate. But the food, right? That food that was heated up, that will be kosher. So if you put the food in a paper plate, you forget to wrap it or whatever, that'd be okay. If it's directly on that glass plate, then you'd be in trouble. Okay, that to me makes a lot of sense. Now, the it's a very short, that was a very short microwave discussion. I have no idea why they didn't feel it was worthwhile to go into more detail. So I will go into detail because for whatever reason, not there. So the general prevailing halakha when it comes to microwaves, again, very strange how they talk about an important issue and then they don't really come to a conclusion, is that if you want to use microwave for milk and meat, you really should, first of all, you should try not to. If you really have no choice and you need it, okay, fine. So what we're going to do is we'll make sure that our glass trays are always clean. And in between the usage of milk and meat, I'm going to take a cup, fill it up, turn it to a minute 20, have the steam from the cup go everywhere in the microwave. Then I'm going to do it twice. I'm going to take a second cup, or okay, the same cup, move it over a few inches because there was a spot that it sat on. Do it again. Once you do those two things, if the microwave is clean, you'd be allowed to use it for both milk and meat right after. Some say to wait a full 24 hours. You don't believe you need to do that. As long as that's, you've done the steaming twice. Personally, my personal opinion, at home, we do not use a microwave for anything but parv and meat. The reason there is the microwave gets a little dirty. It's never cleaned properly. And I don't necessarily trust, you know, the kids are going to remember it. A kosher in between, I found it easier, or people in our house, sometimes it's easier just to say, a microwave is for meat. We have a toaster oven. We use a toaster oven for dairy, for something that you want to heat up quickly, you don't want to turn an oven for. Just practical tips. Also a little bit helpful. Okay. Dishwashers. Ooh, this is a fascinating, fascinating topic. There's a lot to talk about here. Because a lot of it is, what's the reality? How do dishwashers work? And you'll see what to talk about that as well. Meaning, I understand how they work. You put your food in, you press a button, and they get clean, in theory. But I understand that part. But how they work in terms of the soap and the heat, how hot does it get, that would be very, very important to try and analyze. So let's get through it. Here we go. Shulchan Aruch 35. There's a very interesting source that some people like to use to prove you can use the same microwave for milk and meat. If you put afer in mayim, you put ashes in water. Sorry, b'mayim chamin, hot water. So you put these ashes in the very, very hot water, right? And it's in a very large pot. Shenichu b'kedera b'tocha. So again, you have a situation where you have a very large pot that's boiling, let's say, and you put ashes in this pot. We'll see what the issue with ashes are in a second. But there's ashes in there, okay? Now, then you put a meat pot inside this dairy pot. Why are you doing it? You want to wash it, okay? Now, even if there's shuman, there's some type of meat residue still in this pot, because you want to wash it and clean it, it's permitted. Understand, how can I put a meat pot inside a dairy pot? How can I do that? Answer, because of this, because of these ashes, right? Since the ashes were put in, it makes the tamlifgam a concept that we came across a number of weeks ago. Note the tamlifgam means it ruins the taste. Okay? It's pogim, becomes pagum, becomes terrible. Why? I put ashes in there. Now, very interesting. I put ashes. Why is I put ashes in a pot and all of a sudden I could add the other species in there? Why is that? Because of this concept of no tentam lifgam, it ruins any taste, meaning the dairy that was embedded inside this big pot is going to go out, it's going to hit these ashes. And therefore, the taste from the dairy pot going into the meat pot that was put there is going to become disgusting, and it makes it permitted. Okay? Now, very interesting. So if that's true, that ashes have the ability to ruin the taste of the food, right? That any milk and meat mixed in together will not make it forbidden. Not so simple. Says the Shach, 36. Where did the Shulchan Aruch get this from? This is, well, you know, meaning I understand why he's using this case, but it's not found anywhere. You can't do this. You can't just put a meat dirty pot inside a dairy pot, even though there's ashes there. He says, we don't find this anywhere. Where did you get this from? And in fact, they said, if there's 60, if you have 60 against in this water, against it, that's one thing. But first of all, look at Chila. Do this from the outset. Yeah, he doesn't like it. The Bitul Etshuva says, no, you're misunderstanding the situation. Ashes have a very different property. Ashes are a force field. They create a barrier, and they prevent the meat and the milk from mixing together. That creates what's called, of course, a Basar v'chala situation. Wow, what a piece of chetshuva. You didn't come into the Machaber when the Shulchan Aruch, when Yosef Karo says that you're allowed to do it, is ifra yacholif gom at this. It's not just that it makes it pagum, that these ashes make it pagum. Elikavanato davka hacha b'basar v'chala v'mahane afar laklish tam shalo yacholala v'achar kach shim basar v'chala. No, it doesn't give it the status. Now, by the way, why is it so by ashes? I have no clue what the property is. That's what he says. And therefore, the ashes prevent the milk and meat from really transforming into one entity. Okay? Very interesting. And in fact, there is an opinion that some people say they hold, it's a Shulchan Aruch, and they do not hold like that Shach. That could be. Okay? But here's what's interesting. There are those who want to extrapolate from these ashes, saying that ashes is just an example of something. I can replicate those ashes. And you know what also might have the same property to ashes, where it makes it no Saint Tom Nivgam, and it makes it disgusting? You know what it might be replicated by? Soap. Soap also might make something no Saint Tom Nivgam if I use soap in my cleaning process. See how we're getting to the dishwasher? Based on this, the Ravad Yosef rule is extremely lenient that since the dishwasher usually contains soap, that ruins the taste of whatever is inside, and we use it to wash meat and dairy dishes. Are you ready for this? Hold on. Simultaneously, Rabbi Yehuda Yosef, this is a very famous tshuva, says you can put milk and meat dishes in a dishwasher at the exact same time. Wow, if you did this, you'd be ostracized. And that's what he says to do. So now, not everyone's going to agree with this. He's Sephardic, and the Ashkenazic world is not going to agree with it, but nonetheless, he says you could even put the dishes together, although he doesn't recommend it. Interesting. Why? 38, based on this principle. Equal to Shulchan Aruch that we just read. When you wash your dishes, murav behem avkat sabon, soap. Are the types of very, very strong cleaning agents. And they make this, all the water that's been swooshed around in there, disgusting, repugnant with all these dishes. You're allowed, therefore, to wash milk and meat dishes at once in the same dishwasher. After all, halacha is that no tetan lefgam is permitted. Askana didina, but my conclusion, by the way, dot, is after like 20 pages, by the way. Right? Well, my halacha conclusion, shish the word heter b'midyach kelim. So everybody, it's permissible for the dishwasher, the kli basar kli chalav, afilu b'yachad, together milk and meat. However, for rak miyotov heikadevshar, yish le'diyach kli basar l'chol b'chol 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 b'chol. But when possible, just wait, do your meat dishes, and then you can do your dairy dishes. On this, Rav Moshe Feinstein is not happy. He says, you cannot use the same dishwasher for milk and meat, right? And not only that, you cannot use them, the dishwasher for milk and meat dishes at the same time, you can't even use them one after the other. And that's this, Rav Moshe Feinstein in 39. And he said, let's just go to the bolded part just to save time. Okay, this is very practical. Let me 1 second. When you open your dishwasher, you take your dishes out, you've always used dishwasher before. Inevitably, what do you see at the bottom of the dishwasher? You see food particles. Not everything goes through. There's a filter. Some of the food doesn't go through the pipes. Open your dishwasher, you might see some pasta. You might even see some meat there. You might even see some dairy there, right? There's actual food remaining. That's what he says there. Mazushi shir devar be'ein. You actually have mamash chunks of basar, v'shuma, and meat and fat. It stays there. V'gim akli chalav, right? That comes from, right? And if it's from the meat, of course it ends up touching the dairy dishes, the dairy stuff that's there. That's a given. V'gim na'ipcha, and also reverse. Listen, I don't know, the second you turn the dishwasher on and the temperature gets hot, is the soap released right away? I'm not so sure. There's a delay, right? First you have a little bit of a water cycle, and then the water comes out. And then once the water comes out, the water comes out, then the soap gets ejected in. And then the soap is all gone. Maybe it does another rinse after the soap is cleaned up. So you have many times in your dishwasher when you have your milk and meat, even if you want to hold that soap is like these ashes, fine. But it's not like, okay, the soap is released and then the hot water is released. No, you often have a lot of hot water, which, you know, swishes around, combining your milk and meat together, right, before your soap gets ejected. So not so simple. That being said, Rav Moshe does say if you switch your racks, maybe it'd be okay to do. And that's what he says in number 40. The davar kli chadash shalachat to the kev shenikrim b'shem dishwasher. Do you see the word dishwasher in Yiddish? That's Rav Moshe Feinstein. Im yecholim nechot shon kli basar kli chalav zechazai. You can do milk and meat one after another. He says, hinei tzarir shema shebetocho shehu al mashem nechim akelim. He argues that what you put your dishes on, what we call racks, yet the kli basar achirim, the kli chalav achirim, you have one rack for meat, one rack for milk. That's a medin, a dishwasher. Shemeshim b'zochot davar shemichim alav kelim shehu rakad fanat shevatem yecholim shemesh bo d'shnei b'zerachatza. Says in the dishwasher that you're using, right? Remove the racks, switch them, and then you can use it for milk and meat one after another. And there the logic is because in many ways, in between usages, you're actually kashering it. Why? Because if you have boiling hot water that's in your dishwasher, it would, so to speak, kasher, right? Your dishwasher, whatever taste that was left over, it's being attacked from the boiling hot water. And therefore, he feels that you can use it one after another. Wow. So we have the most linked opinion, which is Reuven Yosef, then you have Rav Moshe, then you have the Badei Shulchan, who's even more Machmir, 41. He does not like switching racks. He says, I don't like it. That even though I have the dishwasher, and what happens is there's water that comes out and it goes here and there. The moment that it comes out, right? The water comes out. But if I'm doing milk and meat one after another, it could be, as we said, there was leftover remnants somewhere. Maybe the remnants was the bottom of the dishwasher. Maybe it was in the drain. Maybe it was somewhere actually inside. Even if you do switch racks. He says, I don't like it. Because the water comes out, you might not have 60. Then you have milk coming out from your new dishes. You have meat there from the previous cycle. And they're all getting mixed up. And therefore, I do not like using a dishwasher, even switching the racks, like with Moshe Feinstein, to have milk and meat, to use them for both milk and meat, one after another. The Sefer here, 42, just before our time runs out, he says, if you want, you can be lenient. This is what you should do, if you want to use it for milk and meat. One, you must remove and clean that filter after each use. And you see it all the time, remove all the food. Now, some people, by the way, argue, No. The filter, you don't even see. There's even stuff inside that filter that you can't necessarily get to. There might have stuff in there. Two, he says, change your acts. Three, if you cannot change the racks because they're expensive, then just wash them down. Number four, wait 24 hours. And he says that's this protocol for using a dishwasher for both milk and meat. And number five, do run it through a cycle in between the two. Then you can use it. Okay? Now, this being said, full disclosure, this is generally not used. I do not tell people to use a dishwasher for both milk and meat because a lot of contemporary rabbis say you really shouldn't. Obviously, if you're stuck, you have no choice. There are things to deal with. So it's a very interesting issue, but it's very, very complicated issue, and better if we can to avoid it. All right? Okay. What's interesting here, go to 29. Here's what's interesting. This footnote 29 will end with this. There are different opinions regarding halacha from Yisrael Shifrim Elokim. So then according to Rav Yosef, you can be lenient in Hebrew version after the Rabbanan. The following guidelines are suggested. If dishes were binyomo, then one should kosher the dishes by running them through a dishwashing cycle. Ask the dishwasher, one should clean it well, wait 24 hours, and run the dishwasher through an empty cycle with the hottest water possible. If the dishes were not binyama, everything is permitted. Other poskim, such as Spitz, lenient even though they do not adopt Rav Yehuda's new position, the Chachila. Nevertheless, since there's so many uncertainties, so there's different opinions, they agree this would be lenient if it's b'diavad. Okay? So, but the other situation would be as follows. If you make a mistake and you actually find your dish, let's say you do it, we do this all the time. You wash your dishes, you find a milk fork in your dairy dishwasher, and vice versa. How do you deal with that? So there's going to be lenient because it was a mistake. Since it was a mistake, there's going to be lenient because after Rav Yosef says you didn't cook them together or back to back. So if you find that you make a mistake, that would only be true if it's, you should really, really, really try, make sure everything is clean in between usage so that when you do make a mistake, then it would be 100% according to all opinions okay because you didn't have anything left over because you cleaned out your filter. And you should clean out your filter because it's definitely better for your machine. And it would also be very helpful in case you make a mistake since you know that there probably wasn't necessarily any chunks lying around. That would also be beneficial. Okay, we will go to Stowe's, God willing. Next week, reminder, next week, just 2 days. We are going back to just 2 days a week as my schedule is changing. So next week, Tuesday, we will talk and continue our discussion about modern-day appliances. Have a thoughtful Thursday. Shabbat shalom. Have a beautiful Shabbos.